Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Origin 2 is done and dusted. We will not speak about the results. We will move swiftly on from that. Lakey, joined by you. How are you, buddy?
I'm always good, mate. It's a, we've had the bye week to get ourselves refreshed for the run home. So looking at a strong finish.
Are you feeling refreshed?
I'm feeling cold. I'm feeling fresh. And I was out camping with my young fellas over the weekend at a place called Big Riggin, and it got down
Big Rig.
Big Riggin. It's right. Only for units like myself, man.
Stallions.
Yeah, it got down to like 0.8 degrees or something overnight. It was freezing cold.
Round that up, mate. It was 1 degree. How one good. Degree. So you're coming in fresh. And, mate, I don't know if you remember the last time we were on with this bloke here, but I think we got called out for being a bunch of giggling schoolgirls. But it's another three-way because we got the top 200 ranked Benny G joining us. Benny, how are you, mate?
Oh yeah, I've been better, but I can't complain. Doing pretty well in Supercoach this year, even though I've probably stepped away and not paid too much attention to it. So that's always good.
Let's draw some attention to that, the stepping away piece, because I know you quite well, and I know how into fantasy football you get, or fantasy anything with a fantasy link to it. You will be across.
Just ask his missus.
There you go. Well, we'll get into that, but yeah, you've sort of stepped away because you're a new dad. So congratulations, mate. How is that going?
Yeah, thanks, mate. Little Spencer, TBS, as we like to call him.
The big Spence.
That's it. He's 4 months today, actually. So had his pediatrician appointment today and all is well. He's a chunky little monkey and looks pretty much like me without a beard.
Future Cowboys front rower is all I'm hearing out of that. But you're talking Supercoach strategy here. When you say stepping away, does that mean you literally just look at team lists and then, I don't know, work something out at Thursday, 7 p.m.? What's going to go this year and why are you so high?
I look at obviously just follow team lists. I think in years past I've really tried to get to nail the pods before anyone else and look at previous years of different players and check out the bye rounds coming up early and stuff like that. And this year I've got my brother-in-law Daniel, we and him kind of message each other and we sort of feed off a few ideas, I suppose. And that's the length of it really. And then I just sort of look at team lists and I think the last few years, especially the last 2 years, I haven't been as high because I'm probably still was stuck in, you know, getting your second row forwards and getting your base stats and just focusing on that and really looking at that. Whereas in last year, I got stung not getting the likes of Garrick. He was one that really hit home, and just because I didn't see him as that good of a base player, but it's sort of the rules sort of changed. And so I just kind of went for a few more speculative choices. Probably a little bit late to the Hines party this year, but I got on at a reasonable time before his really, really big one. But and just getting on Cleary early and using those boosts early. I actually don't have any boosts left. I used my last one last week, but using him to get my team set pretty early on. And so I had a pretty strong 17.
I mean, so Lakey, you and I are ranked basically nowhere. So I think we use this opportunity before we get into the round 16 years to fire some questions at Benny G. So, I mean, I might go first. Benny G, I know you well, and you often have an absolute clanger, if not five of them throughout the year. So where exactly are you ranked right now?
141st at the moment.
Yeah, that is absolutely flying. Have you made a clanger so far this year?
You definitely know that I have. Well, that magic round on, I think, the Saturday, and I was talking about how you and Aiken wasn't named, and I'd made a few trades, and then we sat down for the, was it the Rabbitohs New Zealand game? And then I've looked at my app, and I've got you and Aiken sitting there as a reserve. I hadn't traded him yet.
Love that.
And so, which means I couldn't play, I had to take the reserve off Suwali, who got 84 that round, and then I got the 14 points from Vilea from the Warriors. So lost me 70 big ones that week. But, I mean, a lot has gone right for me this year, so I can't complain too much.
Where would you have been if you had that 70 points?
Yeah. I'd be in about 90th.
So. Lakey, what do you want to know from this specimen of Supercoach?
So what are your pods on the right and home? We're going to talk about it a little bit later, but not including round 17, just everyone. Who is the one pod that you're potentially targeting on the run home?
Oh, I haven't looked too far ahead, I suppose, but I've kind of been watching the way that Matty Burton's been playing lately, and I can't see the Supercoach scores off the top of my head, but and it feels weird bringing in a Bulldogs player, but I have been looking at potentially going with him.
No, that's a good shout. I'd say it was a guy early in the year who, in my team's analysis, I gave a serve about how he was such a poor buy for the door as far as Supercoach goes, and he wasn't doing well. Since then, he's rattled off a 71, 57, 78, 75, 98, 82, and 76. He's absolutely flying at the minute, so I reckon that's a good shout.
Sounds like he might not be that much of a pod, though. I haven't checked.
Yeah, have a look at his stats. No, it'd be interesting. You raised something before. You've used all your trade boosts, and I don't know whether that's, you know, a danger sign coming up or whether that's the reason that you're so high up. I know personally I've wasted quite a lot of them just making an extra trade when I didn't need to, but are you worried going forward that, you know, you're going to miss the boat on, say, round 17 when most people use that boost?
Yeah, definitely. I think now that I don't have any, I'm just like, oh, maybe I wish I could have banked one. But I think every time that I used one, it was like I had the decision whether I could wait to the following week to bring in an extra gun or I could just use it now and have the gun for this week. And probably 4 out of 5 of the times it's happened, that extra gun has made me go through the ranks, because I think I've been in the top 200 for about 4 weeks, and I've just sort of – I've still gone green arrows each week, but they've just been a few each time. And if I hadn't made those trades, I would probably be a bit further out.
And what's can you just step back? Not everyone's an overall player, or there might be a mix of head-to-head as well, but where are you going in sort of your head-to-head leagues? Given you're 141st, I'd expect you'd be pretty high up in your head-to-head leagues. Has any weird Supercoach trickery occurred there? Were you just finding tough matchups head-to-head?
I'm in 7 leagues at the moment, and I think I'm coming first in 4 of them, 2nd in 2, and then 4th in 1 of them.
How much money do you stand to make off of this if you win all these leagues?
Only one of them is actually a cash league, so that was a bit disappointing considering the year I've been having. But unreal. I've just managed to get up to 2nd. I was sitting at like 10th, I think, in the Imagine Brewing Cup at one stage, because I just kept getting these 10-point losses, but I've made my way back up to 2nd.
I just have one final question before we get into the round 16 stuff, and it's more just around strategy for you, because I'm not sure, you may have been this high previously, and when we're over halfway through the season here and getting into the business end. So what becomes your strategy here? You did mention, well, Lakey asked you about some pods, but are you looking more to move with the crowd and just maintain that high ranking, or are you taking a full charge to that number one spot? What's the thought process?
I suppose I've only got 10 trades left, so I'm pretty low in trades as well, which is probably a reason why my ranking's a little bit higher. But I've got, so what, 4 or 5 trades before I can make for round 17. So I just need to try and get as many as I can for round 17, but also just trying to get good players. I do have a lot of depth, so I think like a lot of people after in round 14, I think I had like 400 or 450 points on my bench or something like that. So if I can just try and trade a few of those, I mean, like this week, like a Nat Butcher, who looks like he's gone back to the bench, and try and bring in a few more guns for round 17 and then just kind of use my depth as well. Hopefully that'll get me through to the end. But yeah, I'm a little bit worried about the low trades and the no boosts.
Hmm. Well, round 13 was a really good round to focus on. Hopefully round 17 for the likes of us is a little on the lighter side. Lakey, any final queries for Benny G before we move on?
Yeah, just an over-under on how many rounds you think before this podcast ruined your season. Now that you've been on it and we've cursed you, is it over or under 5 before you start tanking?
Yeah, I did message Justin and sort of said, oh, look, this is probably the highest I'll be this year, so let's get it over and done with.
Mate, the NRL SC Talk curse, it is a real thing. I've been hit by it. I was, I think, 30th when I came on this a few years back, and now look where I am.
Yeah.
Anyhow, riding you all the way home, Benny G, fingers crossed you can finish at least top 100 would be great to see. All right, let's get into the meat of the podcast, and that's round 16. So we've had a origin takeaway. Sorry, you're shaking your finger.
I just wanted to give a shout out. I do play other fantasy games, and I'm in an NRL fantasy league, and one of the guys that I'm in the league with is actually coming 9th in Supercoach overall, so. He was coming 3rd, I think, before last week. And yeah,
so he's slipping, is what you're telling me. He's falling. He's tumbling down the ladder.
Oh, he still scored 1,300 or something. Just nothing crazy.
There you go. Unreal, mate. You're surrounding yourself with champions. So I don't know why you're talking to Lakey and I, but here you are. With the round 16 pod, we'll talk a little bit about the origin fallouts. I think interesting news with New South Wales winning so heavily. I think personally that they'll retain the same side. Lakey, off air, you reckon they won't? We'll chat a little bit about that and some of the implications that may hold. Teamless Tuesday, round 16, a lot of players named that we suspected may have been missing through injury. So that throws up a few curveballs. We'll talk about our trade plans for this week and next. And obviously the run home, the all-important, it's still a long way to go. I think we've got 8 rounds left after round 17. So if you're short on trades, could be a very tough sea to navigate. And we'll finish with captain's vices and any other thoughts that we have on the week that is about to be. So before we get into the Teamless Tuesday noise, origin. Jeez, it was a tough watch for us Queensland fans. But for me, I looked at the New South Wales side and I just thought, how do you change this up? Winning formula, that means the likes of Talakai and Angus Crichton are going to be back. But Lakey, you don't reckon Talakai is going to feature in the decider at Suncorp in a few weeks?
No, listen, I think he could drop off the bench. How much of the talk since the end of Origin from Blues camp has been about Matt Burton's stellar debut? And he was awesome. He was really good for the Blues. But he was only there because Jack Whiten was out through COVID. And then you've got Latrell, who's coming back this week, and he's a New South Wales incumbent. So I think, you know, they'll retain at least those two of those guys. I think one of them probably misses it, but they'll retain two, one on in the centers and one at, or maybe all three if Crichton drops out. But, you know, I think one probably goes to the bench as a utility, and that might mean that Talakai makes way as the 17th man from that side. So I don't think he's locked in by any stretch of the imagination. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him drop out.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Talakai is obviously very highly owned. He's got a few, I think, 1,000 trade-outs at the moment. Just, I guess, Supercoach scoring-wise, he's been quite down. But for me, I don't want to throw up conjecture, that's for NRL 360, but surely he's a guy this week that you just hang on to in case he's named next week. He's a very, I think, easy trade-out come round 17 if he is named in the origin side. Benny G, are you a Talakai owner? What are you doing, or what would you do if you did?
Yes, I do have Talakai. He seems a bit disappointing at the moment. Obviously, going into game 2 for Origin, I was kind of just, as a Queenslander, hoping Queensland would win, but also hoping Queensland would win so that he would probably be dropped for the game 3. So I'm wary about him not playing in round 17, and that is probably making me really question whether I probably should get him out of the team or not, because he doesn't really seem to be living the hopes that we wanted him to do. I think I had him for that really big round that he did, but then after that he hasn't been playing nearly as good. And I think we all just been keeping him for around 17. So I think he is really a viable option to trade, even if he's only at 540K.
Good matchup potentially this week, which is giving me pause to moving him on. So we'll get into him a little bit later. I guess the other big talking point out of Origin was the injuries. So Cam Munster, shoulder in a, or arm in a sling post-game, and Payne Haas, ankle concerns. Both of them have been named this week, but I think a lot of coaches or owners will be looking at those guys interestingly, because I think, you know, we know that both of them are going to miss at least one game and potentially more with standard Origin restings. But out of those two, Lakey, are you more concerned with one over the other? I think Payne Haas sounds a little bit more doubtful even for this week.
Yeah, no, I'm more concerned with Munster. If you listen to, and you know, you take it with a grain of salt because it is Braith and Asta, but he is Munster's agent at the moment. And he said early in the week that even before the scans cleared him, he said he should be right for game three, but he won't be playing this week. So seeing him named there, I think, is a bit of Bellamy, you know, head games or whatever. I think Munster sits out this week and rests that shoulder, because he is such a pivotal part of their team. They need him for the run home. So I don't see him playing. Haas, it's a lower ankle injury, so not syndesmosis. He doesn't need the surgery. It's a pain management thing at this point. But, man, that, this dude is just a walking injury at the moment. He's got, you know, double shoulder injuries and now the ankle. If the other leg goes, he's going to be taken out the back. He's a pony. He's going to be taken out the back and shot. So he... they need to rest him as well, I think. I'd be surprised if either of these boys play this week.
All right, let's keep the what we're doing with those guys for the back end of the pod, because I think it's an interesting play for both of them, particularly Payne Haas, given he's so highly owned. So I'm keen to bounce some ideas off of you guys, but it's probably a good segue, Lakey, into your Teamless Tuesday analysis for the week.
Yeah, so apart from those two, the big the other name out from Origin is Kalyn Ponga. He's had his second concussion worry in 3 weeks, I think it was, after being taken off, getting steamrolled by Viliami Kikau against the Panthers. So he's out this week for the Knights, meaning Tex Hoy goes to the back there, but, you know, that's not really super coach relevant.
Can I just pause you there? Like, Kalyn Ponga hasn't just – it's not just a three-week thing. This guy has gone off the field more times than I've had Sunday dinners in the last 3 years. What's going on? Is he a long-term, like, option in NRL?
His defensive style at the moment is less tackle a guy, more get in the way and hope the guy trips over his lifeless body. So
the Darius Boyd.
The Darius Boyd attack. Yeah, that's right. So he's essentially just throwing his body at much bigger blokes and coming off second best, which is, you know, not surprising at all. He needs to improve. He's got to do something about it. Otherwise, his NRL career is going to be shorter than he's wanting it to be. He's just not a big-bodied bloke. You know, you had the guys like the Brett Hodgsons and stuff of the world who were tiny little fellas, but they knew how to play the game and they knew how to tackle properly. And Ponga's just got to learn that. Other team news. We've got no Ryan Pappenhausen at the moment. He's in the reserves, but it's expected he should come in. And I think if he comes in and Munster is out, as I expect, I think we might see Nick Meaney move into 5'8 for the week, which means Grant Anderson should survive on the wing. And if that's the case, then they probably get the same makeup in round 17. So we'll get another couple games out of him, a bit of a cash injection and an extra round 17 number. I think he's pretty safe. But they do play the first game of the round, so it is worthwhile holding trades and checking those styles he tweets an hour out just to make sure he is there. Latrell is back for the Bunnies, which is huge. Maintenance Blake Taft drops out. Dave Fifita is back with the Titans, which he's on the bench and he has a massive break even. So, you know, just wait, make sure he actually gets through uninjured, as he hasn't been able to do that much this year. I think he's more of a, you know, post-origin target, if at all. Your boy, Juzzy, Luciano Leilua, makes his club debut off the bench up in Townsville against the Broncos. You'll be in person to watch that, I believe.
I will be. And you actually, he's our boy because Benny G's a fellow Cowboys fan.
There you go.
Which is why I've got him on. So, yeah, interesting to see him off the bench, actually. I didn't know what to expect when he was signed up here, but it sounds like Tommy Gilbert's still going to play that opening stanza, get through the tough work, and then Luciano will just come on to score 3 tries this weekend. Yeah, so,
That's it. And it's possibly a bit of still learning the system, still learning the, you know, set plays and stuff like that. So a bit of instead of just throwing him out there in the starting side, let him come off the bench and continue learning over the next couple of weeks.
He's got to wash that Tiger stink off him, mate. That'll take a little while.
Yeah, so sitting in Townsville for a couple of weeks will give him a new sort of sting. Ewan Aiken is back in for the Warriors, but only at centre. Jack Murchie retains the edge back rower spot there. Aiken's pushed out at centre, replacing Adam Pompey. So that's an interesting little wrinkle if anyone's still holding on to him. And the next interesting-ish one for me is Stefano Udo Ikemono on the bench for the Tigers. He's a nice cheap possible round 17 downgrade.
It's almost a frustrating team list, hey, because a lot of the talk coming out of Origin, we mentioned Munster, we mentioned Haas, even guys like Reynolds, all these people with question marks over them, but they've all been named. Pappenhausen on the extended bench. Fifita, as you said, on the bench.
It's a very lackluster teams list as far as I'm concerned. 8 teams of the 16, 8 teams have made just one change to the sides that played 2 weeks ago before the rep round, and 5 others haven't made any. They've just gone unchanged. So there's not much happening, but, you know, it happens every week. There won't be much happening on the Tuesday, and then Stilesy will be furiously sending tweets across the weekend as coaches just made changes for the sake of it.
It was interesting, all the talk on like the NRL team lists releases that they did, all of it was, you know, player X is backing up from Origin, but to be fair, it was, I mean,
it's 5 a week ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Particularly players later in the week. But I think, the likes of Cam Munster, keep a keen eye on him. If that's all for team lists, Lakey?
Yeah, that's pretty much the brunt of it. As far as backing up goes, I suppose I should mention DCE and Jake Trbojevic playing in the first game of the round, 5 days removed. Gerbo plays 71 minutes at prop in Origin, which is a huge effort. So I don't know if we'll see him actually run out there, but I don't think he's overly super coach relevant anymore anyway.
Okay. All right, before we take a break, I reckon we might get into some of our own problems. Let's make this a little bit personal. So I'm going to throw to you guys in terms of who you're tossing up for trade ins and trade outs this week before we have a look at what the consensus is doing among the super coach community. So I know you're probably unprepared for this, but Benny G, in terms of your trade ins and outs for this round, what are you doing this week? And has Teamless Tuesday changed your mind on any of things? Or you may not even know what you're doing because, you know, you're not following along anymore. You're a new dad. Other responsibilities. What do you intend to do for round 16?
I think the plan, I've got Butcher and Tago that I was planning to try and get rid of this week. Well, I didn't actually expect Radley to come back this soon. But which I think with his 12 last week has kind of lost all money potential. So looking at trading him out, and I think, I could just hold on to Tago, and I do have Haas there that I was contemplating trading as well, but I could also just keep him on the pine, and I've been playing IPAP and Big Maxi King lately, so.
And Maxi King's not letting you down. He's doing.
No, I decided to sit Haas last week actually and play King, which has ended up being a pretty good move. They're probably I've got Cooler there that I could get rid of, but I mean, he's just sort of chilling down there, and I've got pretty
12,
good
12 break even. I think he's got.
He could make a little bit more money. So I'm probably looking at trying to get rid of those two. The guys I want to get in. I mean, Clemmer didn't have the best game last week, but I've been looking at him up in the front row. And I don't have Madison, so I was looking at him, but does he have like a rib injury or something, or rib problems?
I posted my team's analysis a bit earlier, and one of the punters jumped on and said that there's a bit of whispers going around about that. I hadn't seen it, but and he didn't play in any of the rep games last week. So I don't. He must have picked it up 2 weeks ago against the Roosters, but I don't remember that happening. But yeah, it's something to watch out for coming in. Yeah.
Yeah. Another one I was sort of looking at, but I don't know if I could do it, was De Bellen.
I think
in the last few rounds, he's looked pretty lively for the little bits that I've seen him play, and his scores looking okay. But I don't know. Sometimes I feel like if I go a bit too left field at this stage, I can end up sliding down the ranks instead.
He's such a scum human being.
No charges laid, Lakey. No convictions laid, all allegations. But so you've raised some very interesting points, actually, and guys, that I wanted to chat to you blokes about. Maybe to start with Isaac Tago. I've spoken about him being a guy that I wanted to get rid of for a while now. He's sort of, I think, peaked. But are you losing a key into the Panthers' arsenal if you do get rid of him? Like, are you worried? For me, if I get rid of him, I've already gotten rid of Taylan May, which was a bit of a bad move last round. But Tago, he's, you know, a bit flat lately, but I can kind of see the upside to him down the track. It's always good to have Panthers in. Is that giving you pause to trading him out, Benny G?
Yeah, kind of. I do have To'o and May still, which is kind of the reason why I possibly might get rid of him. But I guess every time I look at getting rid of him, I'm just kind of like, oh, yeah, he is exactly like you said. He is that left side with May. They've linked up pretty well. He hasn't been scoring fantastically, but he's still been getting those high 50s, 60s. I guess it's just last round 38 that you remember because it's the last one. So it makes it easier to trade him when he scores like that. Mm. And the fact that you probably just need another number for 17. The draw after on the way home looks a little bit hard, but like you said, it's the Panthers and they can do anything. So, yeah.
What are you doing with him, Lakey?
I'm trying to move one of them to Brian To'o this week. If I could do Tago, I would, but I don't think I can make it work with, he's up in my second row at the moment, so I don't think I make it work with the jewels that I have. So I think I'd be keeping him as a link man with CC for Talakai.
Mm. As in one at center, one at second row, so you can.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. And you know, move him around if, you know, the depth requires it. You're right. He did drop the, you know, 30-point game last week, and he has that in him. He's got a 34 and a 31 earlier this year, but still solid scoring around that. It's generally, you know, mid to high 50s is his sort of wheelhouse, and then, you know, any attacking stats on top of that. Taylan May gets all the tries, so he gets all the big numbers, and that's why his scores are all inflated. And, you know, that's what the Penrith wingers are all about. They're scoring tries and whacking up big super coach scores. So Tago doesn't quite have that attacking upside, but as you said, he's that link man. He'll get some attacking stats, like, you know, try assists or try contributions along the way. I don't think you need to trade him. I think he's a good, probably fifth center wing for the run home, a bit of a depth position. But if you want to move him on to a round 17 guy too, I'm not talking anybody out of that. That's a solid move.
It's an important point you raised, that whole can you play this guy comfortably week to week? And I think you could do that. Definitely at centre wing, potentially second row is a little bit more crowded at the moment. But if he's a guy that you can stick in as you need to with a good matchup or something like that, I think that's hugely invaluable for the run home. Payne Haas, a big talking point for this week, is named, as we said, with that ankle concern being a huge red flag above him. Say worst case, he misses this week, and then, you know, presuming he's okay for Origin, he's going to miss the next 2 weeks. Given a lot of us are short on trades, is he someone that we'd be actually looking to move on, given we know his pedigree and you think he'll eventually get, you know, fit again? Lakey, would you be recommending him as a hold?
I think so. I can understand the desire to trade him out because he's not been great, you know, up to the Payne Haas standard that we expect this year. But we've got the luxury of the Isaiah Papali'is, Jason Tomalolos, and Maxi Kings that we can cover him for the weeks that he's out. I think it's more a desperation play if you want more numbers. for the next couple of weeks. If you need to win a couple of head-to-head matchups or you're desperately looking for an extra number in round 17, then the temptation's there. But ultimately, I think he's probably a guy that he's still a top four in the position. He's dropped down to 500K. There's not a lot of value in trading him out as far as I can see. I'm holding him and hoping he comes good at the back end of the year and just playing guys around him as cover for the time being.
Yep. No, I fully agree. I think he's that warm body at the back end of the year that we know he can do well. I think front row is a bit of it's a tough position to fill at this stage of the year, unless you want an absolute sort of plotter that's going to play round 17 and nothing much else. Probably got to look more long-term and think a guy like Payne Haas will definitely make up those lost round 17 points. Yeah, or possibly more down the line.
So he had a similar-ish year last year, probably not quite as injury-prone and whatnot, but following the origin period before he got hurt in round 25, I'll exclude that one, but he played 7 games for an 82 average after origin, just absolutely killing it for the Broncos as they started to come good. So he has that in him still, and you'll be looking to get him back in if he can turn it around.
Okay. Final point on Benny G is that I just jotted down then. Maxi King. Are we playing him in our 17 week to week, and are we ever getting rid of this guy? Has he not just come, not out of nowhere, but just when everyone was looking to move him on, he's all suddenly banging out 60s, he's throwing offloads for try assists. Like, Benny G, you're the guy in the top 200 or top 150. Maxi King, is he a 17? In your 17?
Yeah, I played him last week and I'm probably looking at playing him again, especially with the unknown around Haas. I don't know. He's the base stat front rower that's just getting all these extra attacking stats out of nowhere, and they don't look like stopping. He's now made it the 13, so he's playing at front row. He's no longer coming off the bench again, and yeah, he's looking like a bit of a super coach beast, to be honest.
Wet weather in Sydney as well. I had a quick look at the forecast all of this week. So the more front rowers, the more middle guys that you can get into your side could potentially be a plus, because I think it was 90% chance of rain or storms. So it could be a wet weather weekend. So a guy like Maxi King, how good's he been going? But interested to see how the Dogs run it continues. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Leahy, I'll come back to you with some of your trade in and trade out plans for this week. We'll talk a little bit about longer term beyond that, and then captain's vices, and then we'll have a quick look at what the crowd is doing. Catch you back then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All righty. Daniel Lake, Semisonic, step up to the plate. Buddy, what are your trade in and trade out plans for round 16?
Well, I sort of mentioned it before. I'm looking at one of Tego or Talon May, likely the latter out for Brian Toto. It's a trade I was going to make with my last boost last round and just hesitated. And it's cost me, you know, something like 90K in making the trade this week and 40 points on the day last round. So absolutely kicking myself that I didn't go through with it last week. And the other one is I've still got Hammer from round 13 trade in. So I'll just absolutely happily boot him out for Grant Anderson.
No, he's just about to come good, mate. He's going to put 4 tries on the Broncos. All right. So that's a couple of good talking points then. I guess the first one is Brian To'o. So hugely popular trade in this week. will not play round 17 and will potentially get rested in round 18. It's strange the Panthers haven't rested their Origin stars so far. It could be the go in round 18. Brian Toe, is he more valuable in your eyes than a potential round 17 centre wing, say a David Norfoluma, Mike Asiba?
Yes, I think so. Toe's a guy that you're going to play every week, where I think Sivo and Nofo are more matchup dependent kind of plays. I don't mind Nofo. He's someone I'm definitely looking at next week. I'm probably looking at one of Lomax, Sivo, or Nofo for next week, but I don't want too many of those sort of second tier guys. Whereas Brian Toe is an out and out top two center wing in Supercoach. Him and Garrick, I think, are must haves on the run home. And then you've got, you know, Joey Manu's and some of the Sharks guys, whoever's firing in any particular week. But I think Toto's pretty much a must for the run home, and he's just about to have his price explode with a break even of only 5 or something like that. So if you're not going to get him this week, you'd be going to pay a lot more post Origin whenever he does play again.
Screw him. I'm not bringing him in. I can't bear him. So there you go. So I'm guaranteeing it.
That makes me a little bit happier about my trade-in. So, yeah.
No, it's an interesting one because it's all strategy, I think. If you're someone that needs to claw some rankings back, like around 17 is the basically last chance you'll have to get it outside of some really good luck heading in to the back end of the year. So, I mean, Benny G is probably more important for you because you're on the pointy end. But a guy like Brian Toe, are you valuing longevity in the position over a short-term points grab for round 17?
Well, he was the person I used my last trade boost on last week because I just wanted to get him in on at his price then and there with the matchup that he had. I also knew that I would be pretty low on trades, so I wanted to bring in someone that I would have for the run home regardless if he was playing 17. And they do have the Roosters, I think, in round 18. Yes. So it is, it's a tougher matchup. So I can see him backing up. I can see those outside backs backing up, probably a little bit more worried about the forward pack. I think you should get him in, but obviously very team dependent and strategy dependent. If you do want to go for those round 17, center wings, just make sure you're bringing someone in that you probably would want for the round for the rest of the way home, and then aim to get Toro and just expect him to be over 700k when you bring him in.
So obviously bring in Mika Ravalawa if you're hoping for someone long term like I did a week or so ago. And how good did he go, Lakey? We all doubted him. How many tries did he score?
I put him on for any time try scorer, knowing exactly how your magic runs, and scored a double. But it takes his So he scored 5 tries now, and he's only scored in 2 games, a triple in round 1 and 2 last week. Just when he scores, he scores in bunches.
Scoring. He is not scoring for the rest of the year, I think we can safely say.
Listen, mate, you just got to hope you can jag the week he does cross the pine because he's going to score a bunch of them.
Now, here's where his history with me in this sort of position. So I targeted both buy rounds in the years that I was doing quite well in and targeted just random players like Ravalawa that I knew would play round 17, potentially score a try against depleted opposition. I think the guy I looked at a while ago was David Fusatua. He scored 15 and then went on to be an absolute just barnacle on my side for the rest of the year. I think I finished, I don't know, 500th or something. But it was at the point where I just needed to decide, do I go for someone that I'm going to keep and hold for the long term and ignore, just take a bath, I guess, in that round 17 or whatever the bye week was? Or, you know, do I just go for the short term? Hopefully they cross the stripe 3 times. For me, it didn't work out, but we know anything can happen in this game. So, I don't know, for me, ride the roller coaster. If you're like me and you're in the 10,000th, just go heavy on round 17. What's the worst that can happen? Sorry, what was the second trade-in that you were doing, Lakey? So you talked about Brian Toe. There was the second one.
Yeah, it's Hammer to Grant Anderson. It's a pretty stock standard one. Yes. Just getting rid of some deadwood for a cheapie, a bit of cash generation.
Okay, so say Thursday night, Grant Anderson is bumped out of the side because Munster's playing and Pappenhausen is back in. What do you do then? Do you avoid Anderson and pick him up potentially next week?
Yeah, I'll be reversing that trade. I'll be looking to get Hammer out regardless. Just who to will be my next question. But
Ravalawa.
Well, answered. As I said before, I've got some funny duels happening. I could potentially go hammer to Stefano, use it a bunch of duels and just have, you know, around 17 front rower on my bench there, but it's not something I love. I'd have to look closer into it.
Okay. Interesting. All right. I don't have anything too crazy to go through this week. So, I mean, my trade outs, I've gone for, Ewan Aitken. I was a little bit hesitant on this one because I think the Warriors are going to have a little bit of a change of fortune coming up. But as soon as I saw that he was named at center, I know they'll do an absolute number on the Tigers. And I was actually going to throw out a potential stake bet to one of you guys here. Like, I've already taken a few off you. So maybe it's Benny G. But Benny, what's your over-under for Ewan Aitken this week?
He's playing in the centers, isn't he?
Yep. Against the Tigers in Auckland for the first time in
two and a half months.
Yeah.
Although he doesn't want to be in Auckland anyway, so or New Zealand. So Aitken might be the outlier.
All right. Overs and unders, 54.
I'll take that. 100%. He's crossing the stripe because I've traded him out. Mate, he's got three tries banked up.
He's not going to get as much of a base. So I think he could still score a try and get low 50s.
All right, well, I'll stake bet you 55, over 54. There you go. When you're eventually, not babysitting or doing dad duties in next year Magic Round potentially, I'll take that.
Maybe he can just Uber Eats you a steak.
Oh, mate, I'll take it. Don't worry about that. We've got a new dog in the house, so, all the grocery bills are going on this little thing at the moment. So, anyway. All right, interesting. But, I've traded out Ewan Aitken and Nat Butcher. I think, Betty G, you talked about Butcher. He's an absolute sell. If you've still got him, he's trending downwards on the bench. It's a disaster. Originally, I was bringing in Grant Anderson and Ryan Madison. So, both of those guys, huge question marks on them. Firstly, Maddo, I mean, that was a really bit of a curveball that you threw me there, Lakey. I'd really wanted to dig into that a little bit more. But I might throw to you, if I wasn't going to get Matto, is Joe Offa-Hengawe a buy?
Yes, but I think he's only a buy in the front row. You can play him in the front row and you can get that flexibility with him. But there's, as far as second rowers go, I'd be targeting a few more guys ahead of Joe O, personally.
I don't know. I really like Joe O this year. And now with Alex Toll being out of commission.
Yeah, that's it. So he's been killing it. He's got a 60 average on the season, a last five of 65. So getting plenty of ball and doing plenty with it, but it's still the Tigers.
He is playing. He is 100% playing gal ball this year. It's literally stat padding, whatever you want to call it. Like, he's just taking dreadful hit ups that all account for points, throwing wild offloads to no one. Supercoach doesn't matter. They rack up, and this guy has been racking up some big points. Round 17 play, dual flexibility. A bit to love about Joe O. Benny G, any other, I don't know, Lakey threw this guy's name up the other day, but Sean Lane for Parramatta. Is he a guy you've considered in your lofty position?
I think I caught, I can't remember which, is it, what was the last game that they played, the Eels?
Against the Chooks. And I smoked them.
Got the win.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he looked. I mean, I have seen him the last few weeks. His stats have looked okay. He seems to be getting a few try assists and those attacking stats that we know that he can get, which kind of seems like, has he just gone through a little purple patch or is he going to continue? I did notice his scoring, which obviously you'll have a look at how he's going. But I don't know. I feel like if he just doesn't get those attacking stats, it's a bit of a plotter score. So.
Hmm.
I don't know what their matchups are either. So,
South this week, then Wests in round 17, and New Zealand in round 18.
It's actually pretty good.
Not bad.
Good couple, but yeah, then they run into the Broncos, Panthers, Manly after that, and finish the year with Melbourne. So, it's a bit of a mixed bag for Parramatta. But yeah, the next couple are really good.
The only other guys I was considering, Koloa Matangi. For the Bunnies, he's currently under 500k. He got 55 points in a pretty dour game against the Dragons. They were 32-0 down at halftime, but he's still somehow racked up 55 points. I mean, that was impressive enough. And then JDB or Jack DeBell, as we've spoken to, has been getting great minutes. I think his last 3, 4, 5 games have been over the hour mark. So in terms of time on field, he's doing great things. But I think stepping back, it basically shows without Madison, a healthy Madison, there's not a lot to love in the front row or second row for this round 17. No real, like, absolute long-term lock-in.
That's right. No genuine guns that you're going to be happy with for the rest of the year that are playing. You got guys like, you know, the Isaiah Papali'i is there, but pretty much everybody's on board him already. So, yeah, it's a little bit few and far between as far as genuine guys.
Benny G, you've got one?
Not actually in a position, but I do have, because I've got McInnes up at hooker at the moment. So I've just sort of moved him down and had a look at a few of the hookers who play 17. And I noticed that Brayley's been having a few good games lately. I think he's had like 4 try assists in the last 4 games and scored over 60 in each one. Don't know, has anyone, I mean, his scores have been really bad, but has anyone actually looked at Brandon Smith for 17?
Oh, mate, I reckon Smith's cast. Like, he...
Is it just the fact that he's been training at lock, so he hasn't really got that hooker sort of game?
He's playing lock to start the game and rotating through the forwards with a couple other guys. I just don't think he's getting the minutes. And when he's on, there's so many mouths to feed with Melbourne. You've got Jerome Hughes, Munster, Grant getting their hands on the ball a lot. Pappenhausen's about to come back in too. So it's just not enough. There's only one ball to go around and he's just not getting enough of it when he's out there with those other guys, I don't think. So one to watch for next year though when he goes to the Chooks, if he's starting over there. But he'll be nice and cheap next year. But no, I think he's not an option. I'm not really sold on him.
Yeah, and I guess the other one, if you're not too worried about 17 and looking long-term, is it time to bring Cookie back in if you don't have him? It looks like his price is about to go up a little bit.
He's been horrible to watch as a non-owner lately, just given how much he's running the ball, and maybe it was something to do with that whole, you know, he got pretty well thrown over the coals after the Origin 1 defeat. Is he even an 80-minute hooker anymore and that kind of thing? So a lot of that has to sting a bit. But 674K, a lot of money tied up in that hooking position where I just don't think there's the ceiling that you want. His first ton was literally that last week against the Dragons where he got a couple of late, I don't think, junk time try assists or whatever, or tries. But
he scored twice, I think, in that game, didn't he? He set one up as well, I think.
He's been doing that lately and scoring quite well. But so much money to throw up there, but pretty pod kind of position. Actually, I mean, let's start with us. What were you looking to run home with in your hooking position?
Well, I've got Harry Grant already, so he's a locked in gun there. I'd love to get Cookie as the backup, but just as you said, he's very expensive. He's playing, it's a tough watch not having him, but I'm a little bit cautious with Latrell coming back in and the same sort of thing I was just talking about with Melbourne. Cookie's going to get the ball out of dummy half, but you know, previous years he's just been feeding it out to Cody and to Latrell a lot of the time. So I just want to see how they mix Latrell back in to the fold and how these guys share the ball around and what sort of goes on there. But, you know, I got Reuben Cotter still there. If he can come back healthy with your two hamstrings, then I'm more than happy to run him as a second hooker for the run home.
I've actually got so Grant, McInnes and Cotter, and I was originally looking at Cotter because he's almost 600K. He's going to miss this week. Round 17 because we've got the bye and then potentially even round 18. Like, it's pretty nasty hammy injury from all reports. But I think having a combination of those three guys, when it comes to the run home when we've got no trades and may need to shuffle some things around, that automatically gives you huge amounts of cover at both second row and hooker. So I'm thinking long-term and holding all three of those guys. Benny G?
Well, I've got the try-scoring machine, Reece Robson, at the moment.
He's been so good.
It felt pretty good bringing him in as a Cowboys fan and seeing him score tries in the last three games have been pretty awesome. But I did trade Grant when he was 800K, so I'll be trying to bring him back in. I think the long-term goal is to sell one of my second rollers, swing McInnes down, and then bring in Grant and just have Robbo as more of a backup hooking option. Because I don't know, he just, firstly, I like having a Cowboys player in my team, and he's been playing well, and he's been looking good, and he's looking for the trial line. So,
and just you guys have got in the team list today, Kyle Felt has been named on the extended reserves, so the expectation is that he'll come back in on game day, I would think, which might push Hammer back to his utility role, and I think Jake Granville. Sorry to say, JT, but he'll probably drop off the bench. And if he does that, sky's the limit for Robson. I really like him in that 80-minute role. His base is incredible. And as you said, he's getting some attacking stats this year.
You know what, it's Lakey? I was originally about to just play this. And ask Penny G, anyway, had he thought about Jakey Granville as a pot option? We're talking about
pot fullback. You can get him at fullback.
Mate, he can play center. He can play second row. He can play lock. He can play hooker. Jeez, he could probably coach the team as well.
Plays it all in the reserve grade.
And we've signed him up for next year. So there you go. Well done to him. Love him. All right, I think we've probably done that to death. Any final trade-in and trade-out thoughts for you guys? I might have a quick look at some of the top 10s and just run them by you. But I think it's there's a lot of, I think, potential rage trades getting made this week. If you have a look at the most traded-out player, we've just spoken about him, Ruben Cotter. I think for me, he's not playing this week and won't lose cash. We'll eventually make it back and be healthy for the run home. I think has a great dual positioning, but if you need the cash, you've got to go him. Isaac Tago, number two. I mean, that. Are you surprised, Benny G, by those two there? Like, they're highly owned, may have done their dash in terms of being an option for the bye weeks. Any issues with those?
I think I'm not sure how Cots will come back. Just those hammies, though. I mean,
oh mate, you're the expert. Yep,
I've torn my hammy 7 times, so I know coming. But I'm not an elite sportsman though, so it's a little bit different. But he does rely on a lot of his power through those hammies, so a bit cautious there. So I understand that. Tago, like I said, you see 38 as his last score, and that immediately makes it easier to trade him out, even though he does have that great position. He has also signed a contract, right? So maybe he will slow down a little bit now he's got that contract racked up.
Cooler, number three, I think break even of 12. If you don't have to move him, or 13, if you don't have to move him on this week, despite him playing the Storm, I think, you're going to get that extra bit of cash, which can always help next week. The final one to round out is Cam Munster in number 10. We did speak briefly about him at the start there. Lakey, just final thoughts on him. Say he misses this week, but I mean, is he a longer term play? We talked about those run home guys. Munster's probably a man you want in your 17.
Yeah, he's far and away the best 5/8 in the game this year. Averaging 80. Scott Drinkwater, your guy's boy, and my boy, Dylan Brown, they've both been killing it this year, and Munster's cleared them by 8 points on average across the start of the season. So he's definitely one you want in your team, but as save, I'm expecting him to miss this week. He'll miss round 17 because of Origin, and then there's a very good chance he misses round 18 as they back up, and he's probably going to be a little bit sore. So yeah, I can see why people are dropping him for the next couple of weeks and probably pick him up on the run home.
So Dylan Brown to Cam Munster, crazy for people to do that, or is it a move you should be making with trade?
To Munster.
Sorry. Munster out, Brown in.
Yeah, I think if you've got the trades up your sleeve and you're looking for an extra number for the next couple of weeks, then yeah, that's something to consider, because you'll have a gun round 17 option. He'll play this week, he'll play next week, and then you can look at maybe you've got an Ezra Mam or something you can flick out for Munster on the run home.
Okay. So in the top 10, there's a very, very surprising number two here, and that's Joe Tarpane. He has been killing it basically since Sticky started playing him regular minutes. Last week, or last round, was a bit of an aberration. He was down into the mid-40s, I think. But before that, it was mid to high 50s. And we've seen what he's been doing. He's the Raiders' best forward by far, if not best player. Offloads, tackle busts are plenty. But is now the time to be bringing in a 630K forward who won't play round 17? Benny G, what are your thoughts on that one?
Oh, look, it's the last four scores have been amazing. And like you said, he only played 45 minutes last week, but he still scored 82. So,
and I hated every minute of it.
Including that incredible try assist where he just looped one to Kotrick in the wing, was it, or something like that. And I've just looked at him going, oh, my God, was that Talbany?
No, it was more the Knights attacking in the final 2 minutes to really shore up the game. And he's chased down the kick from way in the backfield. It was an incredible effort from a big fella. But, sorry to cut you off. He's been tearing it up this year. He's been fantastic all season, but especially the last couple of weeks in particular.
So long-term, sit to the bitter end. Tarpane's a guy you're playing every single week.
It's looking like it so far.
At the moment, yeah, that's right. I agree.
Okay. No, interesting. I just thought it's a strange time to be bringing him in.
Given the timing is funny. You're right. The timing is funny with his bye next week. But it's off the back of, you know, a 95 and an 82. He's got a low break even, so the price is going up even more. Maybe it's just a fact that people are trying to fit him in before he's too expensive.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Any final thoughts on trade-ins and trade-outs? We've covered a lot of ground there. I think we've all got different strategies at this point. Keen to see how Benny G goes, sans trade boost, but I've got one that I'm using next week, so looking forward to what disaster I can cause with my trade-ins. But, Lakey, any final thoughts this week?
No, I'm the same as you. I've kept one trade boost up my sleeve for targeting round 17, and most of the guys I was looking at for trade-ins this week have, for around 17 options, have high break-even. So give them the one more week and then make all my mistakes next week.
Actually, Benny G, one thing I just thought of, Sharks outside backs, Ramian, you got Talakai there. Most people have him, Katoa and Mulitalo. How many do you own and how many do you want to own for round 17?
I've got Talakai and Ronaldo. I can't remember which week it was when I was going to bring him Katoa and just decided last minute. And then I think he ended up scoring more than Ronaldo that game.
You could have been 90th if you didn't stuff up your bacon and your hypothetical trade in. Surely you're first.
I'm too scared off Ramian just because he loses his head sometimes. And if I bring him in this week, he'll be suspended for next week. Katoa, I do rate, so I definitely could see myself bringing him in.
Okay. One final thing from me, Mike Sivo. I was looking at him this week, 490-odd K. The price tag was really good, but he's got a 60-ish break-even. Am I stupid to bring him in next week for the run home? We've talked about their pretty handy run coming up, but Sivo has had a down game and a good game, I think. But, Lakey, I mean, you were pretty high on him, I believe.
Yep.
Is he still a guy that you'd be considering run home? Have you liked?
He is still a guy I'm considering run home. As I said, there's three guys I'm sort of trying to pick between at the moment next week, and that's Sivo, Nofo, and Lomax. I don't want multiples of them because they're all sort of that really boom bust type. Lomax probably has the safest floor there. He's the most consistent, but the other two can go, rocks or diamonds. So, yeah, he's definitely one I'm considering. It's just his run at the back end of the year from round 20 onwards is a little bit scary for me. So I think I'd probably be looking to sit him more weeks than playing him, and I think that's possibly a waste of a trade. But, it's an interesting one. I'm the same as you. The 60 break-even means that he's not an urgent trade-in this week. Regardless of what he scores, he's not going to go up in price ridiculously, so it's worth it to sit back and see how he goes in his third game, I think, before you can make that decision.
Okay, and I know I said the final thought, but I've got another one. William Kennedy, two negative scores in a row, never been done in Supercoach. He's 368K, fullback only, negative 10 break-even this week against the Dogs, round 17 player. the fullback only thing's the biggest issue. Is have you guys thought at all, could I maybe squeeze this guy in, Benny G?
Yeah, thought about him before last week. The only problem was just he was fullback only and it just didn't quite work for my team. But if I had the flexibility to bring him in, I was looking at bringing him in last week, and I don't actually mind it because it seems to be that link that he sort of plays. He runs in and gets the sweeping play, which means he'll definitely get the try assist. And just, yeah, they've been scoring in the wing so often. So he gets those attacking stats and he's priced perfectly. So I don't mind the play. It's just whether your team allows it for his position.
Lakey, any thoughts otherwise?
I love it. I've got him. I grabbed him before the Titans game.
That's right.
For the that same reason that Benny was just talking about, the juicy matchup and the low scores were dropping out. They've both dropped out now, and he's got a very low break even. The score should the price should start to correct itself. And you know, Dogs this week who have been pretty good lately, so that matchup's not as enticing as it originally looked. Melbourne next week without their Origin players. Cowboys.
Jesus. Oh, Benny G.
That's the shout out for the Dogs I was just giving.
Benny V.
Big bad, yeah. Bentley.
Jesus, got him. Yeah, then the Cowboys in round 18, which is actually on the Friday night in round 18. So I think a couple of the Cowboys Origin players won't back up from that one either. So it's a good couple of weeks for him to boost the price a bit.
It's a bit annoying because I really wanted to beat. Oh, Benny G's brought him. Jeez, old mate Bentley's looking a lot bigger than I last remember him. He would absolutely eat my little cavoodle alive. So, how's it going, mate? Honestly, I reckon if Benny G's dog, who's not obviously on audio but on camera at the moment, could probably run a side better than I could in Supercoach. How about we close this podcast out with a bit of captain and vice captain? Boys, this is a bit of a tough week. Nathan Cleary, I know a huge Origin week, but is there a hangover coming out of that against the Chooks? Is he a set and forget C this week, Lakey?
Yeah. No, I don't know. As you said, it's a weird week. The bad teams are all playing against each other where you don't have anyone that you from those teams to play and capitalize on the matchup, where the good teams are all playing each other as well, and it's going to be tough matchups. So the good thing about Cleary is they play the third game of the round, I think.
I think it's Friday 7:30. Yep.
Yeah, so it's he's a decent VC option if you wanted to go that way and see what else you can get. Like, I was considering Cleary VC Isaiah Papali'i later in the weekend as the captaincy for a bit of a safer play because it's as you said, it's a funny weekend.
Isaiah Tass, come on down. You're my AE this week. Benny G, you've got something to say.
Oh, I think it was from the previous section, so I think we could
jump back. Why not? Don't let Bentley get in the way.
Yeah, sorry about that. I do have concern over Sivo.
You do?
I was actually going through and I was looking at, I don't know if you looked at his last year's scores. And these are like the last six that he ended up playing. He scored 47, 48, 19, 52, 11, and 25, even though that was in 25 minutes when he got injured. So I know he's that boom or bust type player, but there was last year there was two games where he boomed and went over 100, and the rest of them, well, one was 99. The rest of them were fairly average. And if you are just bringing him in just because of that price point and you – probably going to sit him more times than not. Most likely, you'll probably sit him in the games that he goes off, and you'll probably play him for the games that he went pretty poorly. So I'm really wary on him. Someone else that hasn't been named but might be named. You guys talked about Paps.
Yep.
Yep.
Isaiah. Pappenhausen or Papali'i?
Yeah, Pappenhausen.
Yeah, Pappenhausen. Yeah.
Like, are we expecting him to just go straight into Origin, or will he play 17?
Because
I saw he was pretty traded this time as well.
That's right. He's a funny one. He could play that utility role, but they've got so many chefs in that kitchen doing that same sort of thing. So don't know which way Freddie's looking.
Can't change a winning formula, surely. maybe Luttrell, as you mentioned, Lakey, but Pappenhausen, so fresh back from injury. But what a play to have. If you've got the cash, and that's the biggest thing with him, hey, is that he's, what, almost 900K?
Over. Yeah, 930.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so
looks like 1,500 people have already brought him in.
Actually, I kind of rate that as a, you know, just throwing a wild shot at the stumps, hoping it'll stick. But bringing in Pappenhausen when no one else will even think about him because of the cash or whatever, imagine he comes out and puts on 180 in round 17. What's his injury from memory? Is it a...
PCL and hammy.
Yeah, okay, so
it's a different leg injury. So, I mean, you'd think that he would... And I'm pretty sure they got some pretty tougher defensive matchups, I guess. So you'd probably want to see how well he's looking before you bring him in. And he's got a pretty high break even too.
Lock him in for 300 points this week.
100%. I
think. Benny G, we were just on captains and vices. I think Lakey and I identified Cleary as being a VC option this week, given he plays quite early, and then an Eels forward. I think given the rain as well, it could be one of those forward weekends. But did you have any other players in mind for captain vice?
I quite like Lakey's option of Papali up against Souths. I quite like him as a captain option. Obviously, my boy Reece Robson against those pitiful Broncos. Just kidding.
Can't wait.
But yeah, I guess you can't go wrong with Cleary. Another thing that I've really been looking in, this is the first year I've actually gone and got Supercoach Gold. So I've actually been looking at the differences between the percentage of captains. And I mean, if one guy is captained way too much than the other, especially between Hines and Cleary, I've usually been going the other one. So I might just see where people are going. And if enough of them are going towards one, I'll go to another.
Okay, so, I mean, it's not too far out of the realms. You're still looking at highly captained players. You're not going for absolute ultra pods. So.
No, it was probably like when 35% of everyone went Captain Hines that week and then only 9% went Cleary. And that was just probably one of the times that it did come off and it provided a bit of a gap.
I think I owned neither for that week, so it was good. All right. Brings us to a close. For me, Captain Ewan Aitken, every day of the week, he's getting me a steak, courtesy of his four tries against the poor old Tigers. But no, I'm really keen to see how your journey goes into the back end of the season. We've still got, the road is still long and there's a lot of water to go under the bridge, but I think you're in a very comfortable position. Lakey, you and I, we're just clawing our way up into the four digits at this stage. So. Yep. I'm just trying to win some cash leagues. I'm a head-to-head player now, always have been. What about you?
mate, I'm just playing for, self-respect at this stage.
Yeah, we've lost that long, long time ago. I think it was Ipswich Cup 2019. But no, you mentioned Townsville this week. If anyone out there still listening and is in Townsville, hit me up. I will be there probably at the casino because I'm going with a fellow degenerate gambler, so... Look forward to losing my life savings on the blackjack tables. We'll see you guys there. But, it should be a great week. I really hope we get the job done because I was meant to go up for the Titans-Cowboys game a while ago and had COVID, so had to miss out on that very, very hefty win to go up and see the Broncos play. So fingers crossed for me, boys. I make it back in one piece, but you know me, I always do. Thank you very much, Benny G, for coming on, and all the best for the run home.
Cheers, mate. I look forward to finishing outside the top 5K.
Mate, it's the curse. Curse, buddy. I reckon, Lakey, you any chance to overtake him by the end of the year?
Oh, absolutely. It's almost a certainty now.
Well, he's lost a stake and he's lost his top 1K ranking. So there you go. An expensive podcast for our boy, Benny G. Great to chat to you, mate. Great to chat to you, Lakey. All the best for this week and we'll catch you next round.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.